This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Whistleblower who dares to raise their head, stand up, and call out those who seek to get away with whatever is in front of them. We have the specter of Guantanamo Bay that still haunts us, despite the fact that Obama reassured America that this was going to be something that would be, we were going to close the door on an ignoble chapter in America's past. And in fact, we are opening new doors. Maybe the old Guantanamo is closing up business, but they're building a new prison there, representing everything wrong with the U.S. and Americans. This is from an Australian. This is the lead line in an article on the new prisons from an Australian paper, representing everything wrong with the U.S. and Americans. That is what they say. Obama decided Guantanamo Bay prison will remain open indefinitely. That's according to the Australian Herald last Sunday. As detainees attempt starving themselves to death due to the U.S. military's torturous treatment of them, and people across the globe join them today by fasting. The new prison is going to be built within the same military base. They're not pulling up stakes entirely. The quarters will be for special detainees, according to the United States Southern Command, and it follows on orders given by Barack Obama. The infamous facility is about to receive almost $50 million for design and construction of the new jail. The prison has been deteriorating over the years, as have the detainees inside. Their lawyers say that most of the prisoners are on a hunger strike and many are having tubes forced into them to keep them alive. The number includes 8 who are being force-fed a nutritional supplement. It's a grim testimony to where we've come. We are now, of course, with drone warfare also on the agenda. And new laws coming on down the pike all the time, restricting what's possible for us to do in terms of resistance. It really is time to rethink everything. Other stories. Matthew Keyes, one of Reuters News' top social media managers, is facing potential serious prison time after federal accusations that he's a member of Anonymous. This, according to the Department of Justice. Keyes tried to help hackers deface the Tribune Company News websites. Deputy social media manager Keyes is prominent, and he is vocal too. Employee of Reuters. He's very much a 21st century company guy. He was even named as one of Time's top 140 Twitter users in the world last year. But these aren't the kind of allegations of inside job crime that'll make Reuters sleep well tonight. According to the Department of Justice release, Keyes worked with Anonymous to help undermine his former employee. This again, a whistleblower. This is what happens when you stand up and blow the whistle on the powers that be. It's very difficult to do that. It's extremely dangerous. People risk everything. Right now, John Kiriakou's behind bars because he was courageous enough to speak truth to power. In the case of Keyes, according to the indictment, he identified himself on an internet chat forum as a former Tribune Company employee and provided members of Anonymous with a login and password to the company server. After providing login credentials, Keyes then allegedly encouraged Anonymous to disrupt the website. According to the indictment, at least one of the computer hackers used the credentials provided by Keyes to log into the company's server. Ultimately, that hacker made changes to the web version of the Los Angeles Times news feature. The indictment further alleges that Keyes had a conversation with the hacker who claimed credit for the defacement. The hacker allegedly told Keyes that the Tribune Company system administrators had thwarted his efforts and locked him out. Keyes allegedly attempted to regain access with that hacker, and when he learned that the hacker had made changes to the Times, Keyes responded, "Nice." And anyone That's it. Nice. Returning to Cascadia, businessman Lauren Parks is in the news again. The conservative political donor with a dubious private life in industry has frequently battled with the Oregon public employee unions. He's now helping to finance a proposed initiative that would allow public workers to opt out of paying union dues. The measure is similar in some ways to the right to work law, which is, of course, a draconian, a hideous law for workers in any state. We have it right here in Oregon. That law was passed in Michigan last year that prohibited unions from requiring workers to pay dues. However, the proposed Oregon measure only covers public employees who make up just over half of the 250,000 workers covered by union contracts in the state, that and dwindling with every year. This is union busting on a national scale that the nation has never seen before. After years of blood, sweat, and struggle to protect workers' rights, we're seeing all of it eroded in just this past decade. Jill Gibson Odell, a Washington County lawyer who used to work for the Oregon House Republican Caucus, filed the proposed initiative in February and recently reported receiving $6,000 from Parks. Odell says that Parks was not the instigator of her ballot measure and said that her proposal had nothing to do with the fact that he's currently embroiled in a lengthy legal battle with two public employee unions. No, of course not. Total coincidence there. The Oregon Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers filed a lawsuit more than 2 years ago claiming that Parks conspired with longtime initiative activist Bill Sizemore to improperly use a tax-exempt foundation controlled by Parks to fund anti-union initiatives on the 2008 ballot. And that story continues. They just don't stop. They've been indicted. They've been, they would, in normal times and under normal conditions and a proper justice system, these guys would be behind bars by now. But no, they're still out there. And the Supreme Court takes up gay marriage. This is an issue which we haven't dealt with very much on Cascadia because it seems so preposterous that we have to fight this battle. It seems irrational that in this year, 2013, that people, whatever gender, should not be able, partners, to marry. The idea that of all the states in the union, that California would pass something like Proposition 8 and then have this wind up in the Supreme Court is so absurd that it's difficult to know where to begin in discussing the situation. It seems, too, that the Supreme Court, which has closed arguments for the day, there's massive encampments of protesters outside the court right now. It is extraordinary that we're fighting this. Where to begin and where to end on it, I really don't know. It is complicated. There are two cases that are being considered, and the court itself seems ambivalent. Justice Michael Kennedy said, let the children speak, and of course what the children had to say was that they very much loved their same-sex parents and had no problem with it. And there appear to be absolutely no valid, sensible arguments against marriage for everyone. And that's it for Air Cascadia. We're going to go and talk with other fellow volunteers and fellow members in the membership room right now, because we have a goal for this show, and they are there to help see us over the top. Good morning. You can try to see who's out there. It looks like...
Thanks, Chris. It's Justin and Ivan here.
Justin Miller. Wonderful. And Ivan, too.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Chris, a tireless volunteer working on Air Cascadia every morning. It's really a singular achievement to basically produce a 10, 15-minute newscast every morning for your listening, for your edification, for your enlightenment. We're asking you to say thank you. We're asking you to call up 877-500-5266 and become a stakeholder to join KABU, to vote in KABU's elections, and to be counted. 877-500-5266.
You know, Chris's show is something that I think that makes KABU KABU. Every morning, 5 days a week at 10 a.m., she comes on for 15 minutes and gives a very important news and very amazing information about what's going on in the community and in the world. And that's what we do here at KABU. We are tireless in bringing you the broadcasting that you want to listen to, that's important to you, that makes you feel like you are part of something larger, something, though you're listening sitting inside of your house, you're really part of a greater community. Call in today. Call in right now and support this community-driven member radio station. We have a few people to thank. I'd like to thank Bonnie, who's a renewing member from Southwest Portland, John, renewing member from Southeast Portland, Wayne, who from Newburgh has said he's been thinking about it for a long time. He finally took the plunge, became a member of KABU today. George, renewing member from Southeast Portland, and Dennis from a little town called Rickreel, Oregon, is a renewing member.
That is so fabulous. We're so grateful, and we're looking for a few more of you aboard the mighty 90.7. 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number for anyone in North America. 877-500-KABU. You can also do that online at kboo.fm. We're waiting to have you join on with your support to make sure that you stand up and be counted. You say thank you to Chris Andre. You say thank you to all of the people who keep the lights on here and the signal going out. It cannot be done without you in Radioland. That's just the simple fact of it. Did you know that you members are responsible for almost 90% of KABU's budget? Do you realize that? 10% of our listeners are responsible for 90% of our budget. Think about that for a moment. Maybe you could help share a little of the load with pennies, nickels, and dimes. Don't have to break the bank. 11 cents, 16 cents, a quarter, maybe a dollar a day. Whatever works for you works for us. Toll free anywhere in North America. 877-500-KABOO.
Today on Flashpoints, the President of the United States and the Secretary of State turn a blind eye to major labor rights abuses in Jordan during their recent visit there. Also, members of Witness Against Torture begin a five-day fast in solidarity with the hunger strikers at Guantanamo. I'm Dennis Bernstein, all this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, President Obama and the Secretary of State were, in fact, as a part of their Middle East tour, were in Jordan. There was nothing much said about the nature of the kind of, I guess, close to slave labor factory work that takes place in Jordan. There were supposed to be some international agreements. Well, we're joined again by Charles Kernighan. He is the executive director of the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights. They're based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they watch these things very closely. Charlie, welcome back to Flashpoints. Talk a little bit about Jordan, who's working there, what the situation is on the ground. Set that up for us.
Sure. Well, the U.S.-Jordan Free Trade Agreement goes back to 2001. And it was supposed to be negotiated under the Clinton administration, and this was supposed to be the best trade agreement that we've ever had in the United States, because there was going to be worker rights were part of the agreement. So when they launched this thing in Jordan in 2001, they said that this operation, this free trade agreement, would demand that the workers have their full worker and human rights and union rights. And it sounded very good that they would have the ILO core labor standards, no child labor, no forced labor, the right to organize a union, the right to bargain collectively, and on and on and on. On paper, it was brilliant. But in reality, it turned into slavery and human trafficking. because what happened was the Jordanians wouldn't work in the factories. They didn't want to, these garment factories. But garment factories were put up all across Jordan, and they were, of course, exporting to the U.S. duty-free. But the Jordanians wouldn't work in there, so they turned around and they brought in young foreign guest worker women from all of the poor countries, like Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and Burma and China and India and so on, Nepal. And they brought these young women into Jordan and took away their passports, which is human trafficking. That's a crime. That you can go to prison for that. And for 6 years, under the U.S.-Jordan Free Trade Agreement, these workers were stripped of their rights, and we only found out about it when the workers began calling us and begging us for help, and we went undercover to Jordan, pretending we're tourists, and that's when we started to break this whole story in 2006, 2007. And finally, some of the workers got their passports back, but they still have zero rights, and they suffer a great deal, including sexual harassment, abuse, and rape, and so on.
How big are these companies? How many people are working there? If there's any kind of supervision, talk about that and remind us who exactly benefits from these factories in terms of which corporations in the U.S. and Europe.
Yes, it's booming actually right now. There are over 80 export garment factories in Jordan right now, and all of it goes to the U.S. It's all going duty-free to the U.S. They're made in factories, like the largest factory in Jordan, the largest garment export factory is called Classic Fashion Factory. It has about 6,000 workers. Again, all young women from Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and elsewhere. They're housed in primitive, filthy dormitories. In some places, there's absolutely no heat in the dormitories. There's a little bit of hot water the workers could get in a tiny plastic bucket. That's how they wash. They splash it on themselves. They'll work 14, 15, 16-hour shifts. They'll do it 6 and 7 days a week. They get paid 74.5 cents an hour.